In this second part of our Cancer 101 discussion, we're joined by Dr. Sudhanand. Sudhanand opens up the episode breaking down the pillars of cancer treatment and gives us more insight into immunotherapy. He also talks about his work on colorectal cancer and breast cancer. But first, let's meet this amazing doctor. I'd like to thank you all for tuning in to another episode of our series focusing on cancer and cancer research. Today I have with me
Sudhanand.
Sudhanand, tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you to this work.
Okay, so I grew up in India. I did my undergraduate in biology, and I was very passionate about research as a kid. I didn't know anything, so it was a good idea to, like, you know, focus my passion on something. And then I came to graduate school in the University of Maryland first, and then I wanted to do immunology, and I one winter rainy day I decided, oh, maybe I should look at some other university that is doing a lot of immunology. So I moved to the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota. Okay. People told me it was going to be freezing, and it was. And a couple of years in Minnesota, I was working with a really nice mentor, and my mentor announced that he was moving the lab to Johns Hopkins. So I moved back to Maryland. Wow. So I feel like Maryland had an affinity and pulled me back again. And then after a little bit more training in San Diego for about 7 years, I came to OHSU in 2014. And I've been at OHSU building a research lab focused on cancer ever since.
Wow. What brought you to immunology in the first place?
Yeah, that's actually a good question. So I think it's the whole idea of, you know, suddenly thinking about a lot of these battles happening in your own body, right? It's like constant tug of war that is going on between bacteria, and like last 2-3 years, we've all realized how important the immune system is for different things. And so that aspect, I think, fascinated a 14-year-old version of me. I was like, oh, it's interesting that the cells are actually fighting against things. And then I was like, oh, we should totally, you know, understand why these things are happening. And then slowly, as I started getting into it somewhere in graduate school, the whole idea of cancer as a deadly disease was already, like, well said. But it was the dawn of, or I should say, rebirth of immunotherapy. Okay. Because that's like using the immune system to fight cancer. And I was very, very fortunate to work in the lab of one of the people who was a pioneer in this area. And then, you know, I was inspired to, like, continue working on, can we use our own immune system to fight cancer? I mean, can we teach this army of cells that are so good at killing a bacteria, so good at killing a virus, but can we teach our immune system to fight cancer, which is basically our own cells?
Right.
So I think there is a lot of progress in this world of cancer therapy using the immune system in the last maybe 10, 15 years. Progress in the sense, people actually getting cures. So I think that promise is something that attracts me to cancer immunology to this day.
Wow. Can you talk to our listeners a little bit about that science, immunology to fight cancer? I think when we think about cancer and treatments and fighting, it's always radiation, chemotherapy, things of that nature. But this is the, yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah, like what you said, you know, there are pillars of cancer treatment. And when we think about what are the pillars of cancer treatment, it's almost always three pillars, right? It's surgery, it's chemotherapy, and it's radiation. And all of these are, you know, effective for a few specific cancers, and they don't work well for everyone.
Okay.
And they are toxic. Like chemotherapy, for example, you know, there are many folks who have experienced chemotherapy or radiation. Not a pleasant thing. It's like what we call a sledgehammer approach. Yeah, if you don't have any other option, yes, you need to, like,
right,
you know, use it. But the immunotherapy is more about, right now, I would say it's the fourth pillar of cancer treatment. For many cancers, melanoma, for example, like lung cancer, for example, there have been a lot of progress. There are antibodies right now that you can give patients, and the chances of the melanoma going in remission are reasonably high. I would say about 40% or so, and same thing for lung cancer also. So the idea that you can use immunotherapy, which is, it's not that it doesn't have any side effects, but with less side effects than chemotherapy and have more potential benefit, I think that promise has come to fruition lately.
The immune system fights against anything out of place in the body, like germs or cancer cells, right? So
is the hope that research in immunotherapy will lead us to a place where we could use our cells to fight all types of cancer?
Absolutely. That's the promise. Because the way I want to like try and explain the science a little bit here.
Yes.
What I want to say is that like people, immune cells get exhausted. They're constantly fighting a given type of cancer. And then some of these antibodies that are working really well in people, they target proteins that are the cause of the exhaustion in these cell types. So what happens is you reinvigorate the immune cells that are fighting the cancer cells. So in principle, this should work equally well for all types of cancer as long as the immune cells are able to see the cancer and the cells get into the cancer itself. So as long as they can see it, they're in the right place, the immunotherapy has great potential to work.
Okay.
And then there is another form of immunotherapy. And all of these that I've said so far are with antibodies. And again, you know, many people know just because of the pandemic that antibodies are really powerful and yeah, they can, you know, work very well. But there's another type of cell therapy that is also right now really promising for some cancers. That is where we take the immune cells from a patient's bone marrow or blood and engineer them in the lab. What I mean by engineer is we actually give them specific proteins so that they see the cancer cell.
Interesting.
And then you put the cells back into the patients. We actually grow these cells so they, you know, you take maybe 100,000 or a million cells, expand them 1,000-fold. So we put back 1 billion cells into the patient. And this is a therapy that was actually pioneered in Philadelphia by a famous scientist called Dr. Carl June, and a lot of other scientists are also working on this recently. But some of the patients, like even pediatric patients who got these therapies, have gone about 10 years now without the cancer coming back. So there is a lot of hope that eventually we'll be able to teach our cells to fight any type of cancer.
So in those cases where immunotherapy was used, is this a situation, and, you know, pardon me, I'm trying to find the right words to properly explain this, where the cells have now been taught to recognize that cancer? So it's not so much that the cancer itself is just gone or been eradicated, but is this like a constant thing, constant fight within that person's body where this, that cell is now armed with the ability to constantly fight cancer, no matter how it may present moving forward?
I think one of the promises is that with this sort of an approach, you're going to eliminate all the cancer cells in the body. So there is no chance for a relapse. There's no chance for resistance. But as you know, with everything, this is like a battle of numbers. So you've got to eliminate 99% of the cancer cells.
Yeah.
99.999% of the cancer cells.
Right.
Because you leave out, you know, 1,000 cells, and over time, they get mutations, they can expand, and they can avoid the immune cells. It's like, you know, you're saying, okay, now you've got to go and get every single cell that is, you know, has this protein on the surface. That's how your immune cell is seeing it. And then a few years later, you may have some cells escape and they don't make that protein anymore. And then now your immune cells doesn't, they don't see it. So it's like, you know, you're wearing glasses so you can see maybe, I don't know, ultraviolet, which we don't normally see with our eyes.
Right.
So you get like these special goggles and now you can see ultraviolet.
Okay.
And then you're going and sitting in a, you know, movie that you have a lot of beautiful things. And then suddenly somebody says, oh, you know what? We should now go the other side and make infrared movies. And now you can't see anything because you don't have an infrared glasses. So
right.
That's sort of how,
it's a great,
you know, you have a cancer cell escape.
Okay. And there are different types of cancer. I think I was going into this series, I was overwhelmed with the knowledge of how many different types of cancer there were and how all these different types of cancer require different forms of treatment, and just the whole process changes and the whole strategy changes. Could you talk a little bit about the different types of cancer, and then also specifically to our listeners, why it's prevalent in our community?
Absolutely. So I'll talk about the ones that I know a little bit more. We work in my lab, we work a lot on colorectal cancer. And colorectal cancer seems like a single entity, but, you know, the colon, the gut, is like a really, really big tissue. It seems like, oh, it's gut, but I think there are some numbers that say if you take human intestine and then, like, you know, spread it out as a single layer of cells, it can cover a whole tennis court. So it's like so many cells. And there are, like, you know, ascending colon and descending colon and the rectum. And even though they're all collectively called colorectal cancer, they all have slightly different treatment options. Like if you have colon cancer, for example, patients don't get treated with radiation. They get treated with chemotherapy. If they have rectal cancer, then you have not so much chemotherapy agents. You get one drug, but you get radiation and you get surgery. So the choices are different mostly based on anecdotal evidence as to what works based on clinical trials and, you know, what's been going on for 100 plus years now. But it's also, you know, in some ways it's an adaptation to, like, what cancers are more sensitive to chemotherapy or radiation treatment and that sort of thing. Breast cancers, on the other hand, that's another type of cancer we work on in our lab. Again, we've learned a lot about how triple negative breast cancer is a word you might hear. It's particularly resistant to a lot of drugs. Okay. It's particularly resistant to current treatment options. So the mortality rate is higher. So there is a more, you know, awareness these days of mammograms and early detection and screening, because you catch these deadlier cancers earlier, then it's a little bit easier for treatment options.
So with you, is that why you use the phrase triple negative? Because it's a deadlier cancer? Or what is that designation mean?
Great question. The triple negative is actually means it misses three different types of proteins that normal breast cancers, normal breast tissues have. So
okay.
It refers to the fact that they don't have an estrogen receptor, for example, which, you know, is a very important receptor for cells. But if the cells are missing that and still growing, they have become self-sufficient. You know, it's like, I don't want to age myself saying it's like the Terminator movies where you see, oh, you have a computer that has reached a point where it's self-aware, right? It's like that. A triple negative breast cancer is like, okay, it's not dependent on external signals to grow. It just grows.
Wow.
If it's dependent on external signals, you can take away the signal and now, you know, you are shut down the growth pathway.
Right.
That's a good option for treatment. That's, in fact, used for some of the other types of breast cancer. But what do you do if it's like self-sufficient? It doesn't need any external growth factor signals.
Right.
Right. Then that's where it becomes deadlier.
Okay. I do love the Terminator comparison where we're aging both of ourselves there.
It's a good movie.
It's a great movie. Terminator 2 was great. Right. It's great. It's great. Right.
Subscribe so you don't miss an episode of Finding Hope. Cancer Screening is the Future, available everywhere you listen to podcasts. Presented by OHSU Knight Cancer Institute. For more information on the OHSU Knight Cancer Institute, visit www.ohsu.edu/Knight-Cancer-Institute.